Lift your hands and love him here tonight. Glory to God. Every step we take is a step of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can be turning to the book of Acts chapter 16 tonight. Good to see my niece Mackenzie. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All of our family members are evangelizing out of moving on the road from here. And so, but we still got Mackenzie here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Acts chapter 16 tonight. I was not only one shocked that we was leaving Brother Mike when I told him. He said, you could have told me anything and I'd have believed it but that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he's right about, I'm a little older now. And this body's trying to make adjustments. And we gave a whole new definition to the word minimalist. When you pack three adults in an Equinox and go down the road. Amen. Acts chapter 6. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the word tonight. Amen. If you're able to. Verse 23. Very familiar reading here. Acts 16, 23. The Bible says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Would you pray with us? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the word, Lord. Thank you for your spirit that's here. God, I need you tonight, Lord. Oh, God, would you anoint us to be able to preach, Lord, what you've laid on our hearts? Lord, would you move in these altars in a mighty, mighty way, God? Hallelujah. God, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in life that we don't understand, and trials that we face. And when we lost our babies down in Virginia and up north, and we've got five of them in heaven, and two of them we were able to raise. There's a lot of things that we didn't understand about that, Brother Tony. And I know that there was a purpose. I know that God knows why. I know that we put our faith and trust in him, and through all of that, and as we buried Gabrielle and Luke, I know that the one thing that I learned in that valley was is how to trust the Lord. Amen. I learned that I don't have to understand everything, but I do have to trust the Lord. Amen. For he knows what's best for him, and I'm trusting him today. Day in the moves that we made in our ministry, and I'm trusting him with the health and the things that are going on in our country. Amen. All of this a plague, if you want to call it. Amen. And COVID that's breaking back out. Amen. I'm praying for the church, and I'm praying for the saints of God. Amen. For our protection, our healing. Amen. Praying for our country. Praying that the government and our leaders and our state governors and mayors, communities that we are involved in, praying for them, most of all that God would give us a move of his spirit here in this last day that would draw men to him. I believe there's going to be that outpouring that's going on. I believe that we're actually living, right there where the church is going through the beginning of sorrows. I really do believe that's where we're living at today. Hallelujah. But there is in that last days, he said he'd pour out his spirit. Amen. And I believe that there's going to be people that'll get saved. I believe there's people that's interested in the Lord. I believe the Lord's going to reach. Amen. For those that are interested. Hallelujah. I believe he's going to pour out his spirit, and there's going to be some souls that'll get in. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. One thing's for sure, in the middle of everything that we go through, we've got to trust in God. Hallelujah. Some of you are going and have been probably in some of the toughest trials or the toughest trial in your entire life. Amen. Sometimes God allows lives to slow down a little bit. And when they do, amen, he sometimes does that for the purpose of teaching us some things. Amen. Amen. If we'll listen to him, if we'll pay attention to him, hallelujah. Amen. If we will let him apply what he wants in our lives, hallelujah. I want to preach to you tonight for a few minutes on a simple thought on the purpose of parameters. The purpose of parameters. You know what a parameter is? It's a boundary within a certain confinement, amen, or boundary. In our text, we find that Paul and Silas found themselves within some parameters, and they were put into prison, confined, couldn't go anywhere. They were doing what the Lord had wanted them to do, but they find themselves, amen, arrested and in the prison. Amen. I don't read in the Bible that they started whining. I don't read where Paul called, amen, called on God and said, amen, I'm supposed to be evangelizing. I'm supposed to be overseeing churches. I'm supposed to be doing this or doing that. But he found himself in the midst of a prison, amen, in a place where he thought that he probably should not be, amen. But here he is, amen, in this prison, him and Silas, amen. Glory to God. I don't know why I'm here, amen. This isn't the norm, hallelujah, but I don't think this is how it's supposed to be, hallelujah, but I don't find that Paul and Silas complained about the parameters. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What was the purpose of those parameters? Amen. I believe one of those purposes was prayer. Glory to God. They had been beaten, many stripes put upon them. They had their feet, no doubt, fast in stocks, and they were thrown into the inner prison. They did not forget who God was in all this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In fact, they did exactly what most saints of God would do. They began to pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No doubt they prayed for God's help. Amen. No doubt they prayed for God's healing and his protection. No doubt they prayed for God's deliverance. But I also believe that they were praying for those that were around them in these parameters. I believe they were asking God to, amen, show his spirit and his love to that old jailer. I believe he was asking that those prisoners around him would be able to see, amen, who Jesus is. I believe they were praying to God that there would be a move of his spirit, that he would come by and convict hearts and souls while they were in the midst of the parameters that they thought they ought not be. They were looking for God to do something. Right. Hallelujah. Right. The purpose of parameters will cause you to pray. Right. Hallelujah. It'll also cause you to praise. Amen. Verse 25 said, "At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Woo. They hear what you say, don't they? They heard him pray, and they heard him praise. Glory to God. They were listening. Amen. For the Bible said they heard them. Amen. The purpose of parameters should cause us to sing praises unto the Lord. You know, sometimes when things are going bad and when you're in the middle of the worst things that you've been in, hallelujah, that it's a great time to not only pray, but it's a time to lift up your voices unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I've said it many times. All of us would pray in the middle of parameters. Who does it whenever sickness strikes? When we get the bad news, amen, when death strikes, we all call out to God, don't we? But how many times did we break out in a song?
hallelujah, and those around us hear our voices and say, how in the world can they sing in the midst of such amen calamity? How could they sing? Hallelujah. I believe the singing, amen, impacted them just like it impacted Brother Tommy Romans. Amen. On that day he was there at that church. Amen. And they sang about that lighthouse. Glory to God. I believe that it impacted them. Amen. I believe that those prisoners were impacted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In fact, I believe it impacted him so much we know the jailer prayed. Glory to God and his family. But not only that, Brother Jim, I believe all those prisoners prayed. Amen. I don't know if they ever one did. Amen. The Bible doesn't really say, but one thing's for sure. Amen. When the door swung open wide, the jailer was going to take his own life. Remember that part? Hallelujah. Amen. And Paul said, we're all still here. Amen. You see, the prisoners, their doors had opened up as well. But yet, they were still there as well. Now, you would think that a criminal, one that had been a murderer, one that had done wrong and had been put in there, many of them were on death row, no doubt. And there they were. You would think whenever the gates opened wide, they would have shot out the door. But I believe they'd been listening to some praying. I believe they've been listening to some singing. I believe they've been listening to some praising. And I believe the Spirit of God was dealing with them. Hallelujah. And I believe that many of them possibly got saved that day. Hallelujah. There's a purpose for the parameters in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Also, Paul, in the middle of parameters, would get out his pen and begin to write. Paul was put in prison many different times, and it's believed his time in the prison, amen, that he wrote some of the New Testament, especially of the Roman, when he was there being watched by a Roman jailer. It's believed that he penned the whole armor of God as God inspired him. Hallelujah. You see, in the midst of the parameters of Paul's life, amen, he pulled out his pen and began to write some things. I believe that the Lord slowed Paul's life down. He'd been beating the trail. He'd been preaching, amen. But when he got in the prison, amen, hallelujah, he had time on his hand. And he had time to think. And he had time to possibly write, amen. I wonder what God is wanting many of us to do in the midst of our parameters. I wonder if God has wanted us, amen, maybe you're a preacher, maybe he's slowed some things down so that you'll spend a little more time in preparation and study, amen. Maybe he's wanting you to do a little more prayer. Maybe he's wanting you to pen a book, amen. Maybe he's wanting you to write a song. Hallelujah. During COVID, you know, Brother Jeff Ison, some of you all do, miracle that he's got saved. Brother Dean, Sister Carol Ison, their youngest son, he's been saved some 6 years, I guess now, or seven. Just been a miracle. He's very faithful in everything. Hallelujah. And during this time of COVID, amen, Jeff, amen, I never have been able to get him to sing, although I believe he can sing. Amen, but we have got him beating on drums some now. Amen, and he even bought him a set of drums. Amen, and been doing a little practice or something. But during COVID, when all of that, we had shutdowns and things, and hallelujah. Amen, one day he emailed me, amen, and sent me some words. He said, just some words for thoughts. Amen, he penned a song. Amen. And it wasn't about a week or two later, he penned another one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was right after, amen, that the Lord had been dealing with us, amen, that maybe he slowed some things down in order for us to be able to do something different for God. You never know why the trial that you're going through, amen, and I'm not making light of our trials. I'm not making light of sickness. I'm not making light of death, amen, but if we will not just focus on the issue, but we'll look at the parameters that's around us and the people that are watching us around us. No telling what God might do. No telling what God might have you to do. Amen. Woo. There's a purpose for your parameters. I thought of David. Amen. He was young. Hallelujah. We know that story so well. I mean, if you was a child in Sunday school, you learned about David and Goliath frontwards and backwards. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When David was young, and you know, sometimes we think he was just a little kid. Amen. But he was no doubt, you know, 16 years old or something like that. Hallelujah. He wasn't old enough to be in the army, but he was old enough to be able to take on some responsibility, no doubt. Hallelujah. And I know he was pretty big whenever he killed old David, because Jonathan, when David killed Goliath, because Jonathan put his robes on him and they fit him. Hallelujah. So he had to be a pretty good size boy. Hallelujah. But still young. But he'd been out there and given the task of taking care of daddy's sheep. Amen. I tell you what, you know, a lot of young teenagers wouldn't have liked that. Most teenagers I know, they like getting with other friends. They like going down to the ball court and shooting some basketball. Amen. They like going to youth night. They like doing this and doing that. But David was out there by himself, boys. Amen. He couldn't do anything but watch sheep and listen to sheep bleat. Amen. He was just there. All right. The parameters of his life. But God had a purpose for his parameters. Yeah. And one of those is that he developed skills. David took time while working and tending to the sheep to hone some skills. He had to protect the sheep, amen, from thieves and from lions and bears and all of those predators. He wasn't like us if today he had his 30-06 or his 30-30, amen, sit back there with a scope and pick him off at 200 yards. Hallelujah. All he had, amen, was a little old slingshot. Glory to God. I don't know about you. If all I had was a staff and a slingshot, I believe I'd be doing some practicing. Amen. And I believe he sat around the campfire at night, and many times that he was a slinging rocks. Amen. When the sheep were watering, I believe he was slinging rocks. Hallelujah. I believe he got good with that old slingshot. Hallelujah. No wonder God would use that sling and that stone, amen, to plant it in the forehead of Goliath. Amen. God had been working on that. Hallelujah. Woo. What was happening? God was developing skills for things up ahead. Oh, glory to God. You never know the parameters in your life. God's a working. Amen. To prepare you for what's down the road. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord put him through school. Oh, it wasn't the test of algebra and chemistry and biology and all the things that we talk about today. Hallelujah. But it was in music class. Hallelujah. He had out the harp, didn't he? Hallelujah. I believe he probably wrote some of those psalms and got some of those words for the psalms. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We know that David over his life would pen over half the psalms. Amen. And then in the early church, amen, the psalms were the songbook. Amen. Hallelujah for the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does it surprise you that as he would be playing that harp, hallelujah, while the sheep are in the fold or, amen, in downtime, he's a plucking away on a harp, learning how to, amen, to hone in that skill. Does it surprise you that down the road that he would be called, amen, by Saul because somebody had heard him playing? Amen. They said, that Jesse's son, amen, he knows how. And they would call for him, and he got his first job there, amen, working for the king, amen, to soothe those old evil spirits, amen. Hallelujah. As he would play the harp. Glory to God. Ooh, just started out shepherding sheep. Now he's gone through school, developing skills, and he's developing responsibility. Glory to God for responsibility. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. David would learn responsibility. He would learn work ethic and patience and care. Amen. As this was another purpose for the parameters in his life. Right. Hallelujah. We were just down at Laurel and their youth leader down there. Glory to God, Brother Robertson. We got to know them better. and they got a little boy named Simeon. Simeon's 5 years old. Just a little fella. He helps take up the offering. He does different things. And hallelujah, plays little cymbals, keeps beat real good. And hey, man, I learned that Simeon really pays attention to the preaching. I never met a five-year-old that could tell you what you preached when you got done. Amen. But he'd come up tell you what you preached. Hallelujah. In fact, the next day, he was talking to his uncle. Amen. And he said, are you sanctified? Hallelujah. He said, well, yeah, I'm sanctified. Amen. He said, what makes you ask that question? He said, well, it's only a thought. That was the title of the message the night before. It was only a thought. Hallelujah. Amen. And just sort of caught his uncle off guard. But old Simeon, we went out to eat one night there, and we were eating some pizza, and he's sitting there, and he's talking away. He said, yep. He said, I think I'm getting ready to get married. Hallelujah. Hello, my lands. Glory to God. He's 5 years old. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. He said, I work. He said, I make money. Hallelujah. His daddy said, well, he said, he does work. He said, he earned some money from his papa yesterday. He said, yeah. He said, I make money. He said, in fact, I had $5. He said, that I was bringing to put in the offering tonight. He said, and I accidentally left it in the truck. He said, but I will bring it tomorrow night. Hallelujah. I'm thinking, this is a five-year-old kid. Amen. He's done. Amen. Figured out. Amen. To get married, I got to have responsibility to hold a job, make money, and be able to give to God too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, son. I said, wow, he's got it down more than some 30-year-olds I know. Glory to God. Responsibility. I watched him come in the next night. He came up on the platform. His papa is the one that counts the offering stuff. And he looked around. He looked, see if everybody's looking. I see him look down that offering plate, and he popped that $5 right down in that offering plate before church. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. I was just amazed that a five-year-old, amen, can have that much focus. And if somebody that's five can have that much focus, how much more focus can we have in developing responsibilities in the middle of the parameters that God has put in our life? In the things that, oh, if we're not careful, amen, all we'll do is bellyache. And again, I'm not making light of our situation, but if we're not careful, amen, we'll not be able to help those around us. While we're in the middle of the parameters, we'll not help the ones that God wanted helped. We'll not be able to win the prisoners, amen, that Paul did. We'll not be able to win the jailer that Paul did in Silas. Hallelujah. Responsibility. Hallelujah. The last person I want to mention is Joseph. And I'm talking about Joseph, the husband of Mary. Amen. That's the third person that I've wrote down. Joseph is engaged to Mary, betrothed to her. And you know, if you've been much of a student of God's word, you know that the betrothal period was a engagement process that was much tighter than ours. Hallelujah. The only way you got out of engagement is if somebody, amen, committed fornication. Hallelujah. And so it's an exciting time. They're getting married. Remember when you got married? Some of y'all, hey man, you were excited for the day, and you had it marked on the calendar and all the preparations, and hey man, and all of the planning and everything that was going into place. And hey man, the day's getting closer and closer, but then things got complicated. Some parameters was put in Joseph's life. Hallelujah. He finds out Mary is expecting. Oh no. I don't know what about you, but that sort of rained, amen, on your party. Amen. And this day, I mean, she could have been stoned. She could have been, amen, really a bad situation, amen, for her to be expecting, amen, when there had been no relations. Hallelujah. But there was a purpose for Joseph's parameters. And I believe one of those purposes was that Joseph listened. Hallelujah. Joseph had learned to listen to God. Through this, I mean, you can imagine when he found out, he was probably devastated. He was human. Hallelujah. But then the angel spoke to him to be not afraid and to take Mary, amen, to be his wife. that the child that was conceived within her was of the Holy Ghost. Now, glory to God, I tell you what, you may be spiritual, but that would take a lot of faith, wouldn't it? It never had happened before, and it's never happened since. Hallelujah. And I mean, to hear that, I mean, he had to be listening to the Lord. He had to be in tune with God to take that at face value that this angel had spoke to him. Now, a lot of folks, amen, would have fell out with it. Never would have believed it. This was a man of God. This was a man of faith. And even though the parameters had been put on him, Joseph listened to what God had to say. Have you been listening to what God has to say in the midst of your parameters tonight? Have you been listening, amen, to what God has been telling you, amen, with the trial that you're going through and that you don't understand? Joseph learned as well. Come on to the piano, Patrina. Joseph learned how to obey. You know, that's one of the toughest things to learn. Glory to God. I mean, when we're little kids, a lot of kids, they're not to blame. It's the parents, right? Because they don't put the discipline force to make them obey and consistent and all of that. Hallelujah. But here, hey man, Joseph has learned to obey God. Hallelujah. He not only learned to obey him, he learned to trust God. Hallelujah. Have you learned to trust him? Oh, we trust him whenever things are going great. Right. We trust him when Brother Tyler's going through it. Hey, man, we can believe God for him. Praise God, it's going to be all right. But when it's old number one that's going through it, we can trust him whenever it's Brother Jim going through it. Amen. Or when it's, amen, Brother Bill and Sister Tiff as a family going through it. But it's when it's my family. Can I trust him? Can I be obedient to him? Amen. Glory to God. Oh, when it's Joseph, he's had all of this on him. Many, no doubt, thought he was crazy. Many, no doubt, talked about him. Many, no doubt, ran him down, passed rumors. My name's ruined. My life's ruined. Don't tell me that the devil didn't show up. You know he did. Hallelujah. But Joseph learned to trust God. How can anything good come out of this? I don't know, but I'm going to trust him. Hallelujah. I don't know, amen, what the final thing is, but I heard what the angel said. Hallelujah. And I'm going to trust him. And so the purpose of the parameters in Joseph's life has taught him to listen. It's taught him to learn. And now it's taught him to live. Hallelujah. These parameters in Joseph's life taught him to live for God no matter what. Glory to God. When you're going through it and you don't understand it, you don't know why you're up against it, don't seem fair. Why does it always happen to me? Why is it always my family? Why is it? Amen. Oh, glory to God. These parameters will teach you, if you will allow it, to live for God, to trust in God no matter what, to lean on God no matter what, to hold to God no matter what, through thick and thin, through, amen, not understanding. Understanding everything. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Not understanding everything. Joseph listened to God. He learned from him. And he lived for God. Joseph was a just man of God. God help us to live within those parameters. Hallelujah. Many and most of you have heard us talk about our babies, as I mentioned earlier. It was the toughest trial that we'd ever been through. Hallelujah. And I've told it different times when I felt compelled to tell it. And I still to this day, Sister Cheryl, don't understand why it all happened the way it did. But if I try to figure it out, I'd go crazy. If I try to figure it out, I would backslide if I continued down that path. If I continued in, but what had to happen? I had to trust Him. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. One of the hardest things that I ever did as a dad when Gabrielle died, she lived a few hours there. And when I had to explain it to Erica, been hoping for a baby sister, and all those plans we had. And when I explained it to her, I'll never forget it. I thought I'd help her and tell her, you know, God had need of Gabrielle and the other babies so far. He had more need of them in heaven than what we did here. She was just a crying. She was only, I forget how old she was, 7 years old, 8 maybe. And she said, through tears, she looked up, she said, "Daddy, why didn't God want me? Why didn't He want me if He wanted them?" And the Lord quickly gave me just the words to say. I said, "Because God knew that we needed you." Hallelujah. I don't understand why we've got 5 babies in heaven. But I do know that, as David said about his baby, "I shall go to Him." I believe I'll know Him every one when we get there. Hallelujah. Even the ones, and the one that was in tubal pregnancy, even the ones that was just a miscarriage, the other two that was born naturally, all of that, I'm trusting in Him. That's been a long time ago. The devil tried to destroy the Stidhams during that time frame. And I don't know why I'm bringing it up tonight, but I would tell you that the devil will take your trial and try to destroy you and try to accuse God and try to discredit God. Amen. He asked me those questions. I was not a preacher. I was a lay person in the church, and you've heard me say it before, many of you. The devil, when our pastor walked out and Brother Scotty Grooms was there preaching revival, and him and Brother Kevin walked out of that hospital at 2 a.m. in the morning, the devil stepped in on my shoulders and he said, "What kind of God gave you a dead baby? What kind of God gave you a promise of a child and it came out and he died? She died. Amen. What kind of God do you serve? You pay your tithes. You go to church. You're faithful. You don't miss. Amen. You do this. You do that. Amen." And he put those thoughts into my mind and was bombarding my mind. Don't tell me that the devil won't bombard you when you're up against it and you're up against the trial of your lifetime. Glory to God. But if you'll step back just a second, amen, and just put your trust in Him, and you'll lean unto Him and listen to Him and learn from Him and live for Him, He'll take you through the trial, amen, and you'll be able to have a purpose in your parameters that you'll be able to help others around you. Hallelujah. She begins to play tonight. Hallelujah. The purpose of your parameters. I don't know what parameters you got going on. There's no doubt in my mind that some of you are in the midst of trials. Some of you may be facing the most difficult thing you faced in your life. Or maybe you just came through it and questions are there. I would tell you that you don't have to have the answers to all the questions. All you got to do is trust in Him. He will hold you in His hand. It'll be just like that footprints picture. Hey, man, when he saw one set of footprints, Brother Jim, He'll carry you. Sister Alice, He'll carry you right on through. Glory to God, He'll carry you. And there don't seem to be no way. And the devil will give you every scenario, and it may not turn out like you wanted it to. I found out life don't turn out the way I want it to all the time. I found out that it does rain on the just and the unjust. Hallelujah. A good friend of mine worked with me in Walmart. I was his mentor, his trainer. And he was just baffled by us losing babies. He said, "I don't understand it. You know, you're looking at yourself, you're looking for people to console you. And you've got a sinner. Said, I don't understand how God can take your baby and you're faithful. You go to church." I said, "I don't know much about it." He said, "But I don't understand." And I had to look at him and say, "It rains on the just and the unjust." Hallelujah. Just because you're saved don't mean that everything's going to be just wonderful. You're going to face some troubles and trials in life. The Bible is very, very straightforward about those things. But it's also straightforward. We got a reward in heaven for those that are saved. Hallelujah. Those that live for Him. Those that trust Him are sold out. I'm looking to the other shore. I believe He's coming back soon. But while we're waiting, hey man, we're just going to keep on keeping on. And as the light shines from this old country boy, I just want to step in the light and keep taking one step at a time. Stand your feet all over the sanctuary. Try to preach to you my heart tonight. Hallelujah. The purpose of parameters. Maybe you got some things in your life. And maybe you need to rethink how you've been thinking things. There may be somebody in your family that's looking to see how you're handling it. There may be somebody around you that you don't even know that whenever you break out in that song, they'll be able to say, hey, there's something that's, and the Lord deal with their hearts. Bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you. Lord, I feel your presence. Glory to God. We all have parameters in our life throughout our lives, God. Lord, and I believe there's folks here tonight that have got some parameters in place. Some are going through tests and trials, God, that then in uncharted waters for themselves. But God, I pray that you would strengthen them and help them to trust you and help them to see the purpose within the parameters. Is that you tonight? While heads are bowed, you lift up your hands and say, "That's me, Brother Tony. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see that hand." And I ask you, everyone that would come to this altar. If you raised your hand, if you didn't, let's make us an altar. And let's pray. Lord, give me an outlook that sees the purpose for my parameters. That I'll trust you that no matter if it goes my way or if it doesn't. Hallelujah. To be resolved. To have the resolve that I'm going through this, but the Lord's going through it with me. And I'm going to trust God. I'm going to learn, listen, and live for God no matter what. I'm going to sing the praise and pray as God puts me through school. Me to write something down for somebody. It may be write a poem. I told her not to. Erica wrote that poem about Alpine before we ever got there. We didn't know he was going there. She wrote a whole page about the church that we was going to pastor and described it to a T. I still have it. That God showed her as a child. Don't tell me that God can't help you through your trials. Don't tell me that God can't give you purpose in your parameters. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go ahead and sing.
Hallelujah. Go right ahead.
Man blind from birth, the only one who saw his worth didn't pass him by. He heard his cry. He rubbed his eyes with a handful of clay and said, go wash in the pool today. And the blind man knew that's what he had to do. No, along the way he couldn't help but trip and fall, but each time he got back up again, I wonder if he thought, every step I take is a step of faith. When I can't see what's in front of me, I'll walk on and just believe. He hears my prayer, and when I get there, the miracle promised by my Father is waiting in the water. Walked in darkness, I won't lie, and like the blind man, sometimes I have felt all alone, like all hope is gone. But I know that God's word is true. No matter what I'm going through, he's promised me that he would never leave. I know along the way he couldn't help but trip, but I'll make it through the water, even if I have to crawl. 'Cause every step I take is a step of faith. When I can't see what's in front of me, I'll walk on and just believe. He hears my prayer, and when I get there, the miracle promised by my Father is waiting in the water. Every step I take is a step of faith. When I can't see what's in front of me, walk on and just believe. He hears my prayer, and when I get there, the miracle promised by my Father is waiting in the water. I walked in darkness,
oh, would you worship
I won't
him tonight?
Lie. And like the
God.
Blind man, sometimes I have felt all alone, like all hope is gone. But I know that God's word is true. No matter what I'm going through, he's promised me that he would never leave. I know along the way I may stumble and I may fall, but I'll make it through the water, even if I have to crawl. 'Cause every step I take is a step of faith. When I can't see what's in front of me, I'll walk on and just believe. He hears my prayer, and when I get there, the miracle promised by my Father is waiting in the